When I think of the cross, I think of the insults and the mockery that came from the crowd. I think of a painful 39 lashes and the excruciating pain from a thorn-filled crown. When I think of the cross, I think of brutal suffering and the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus willingly stepped into. You see, the greatest act of love is for the innocent to stand in place for the guilty. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he stood in place for you and me. It's what we call grace. And in a moment of grace, far beyond anything that we could ever comprehend, Jesus took on all our anger, all our anxiety, all our brokenness, all our pain, all our past, every single mistake, all our shame. He took on all the things that we try to carry, but they're just so heavy. But Jesus didn't come just to simply take those things. He came to give us freedom. Because of him, you're no longer lost to your past. Because of him, you're no longer a slave to your shame. Because of him, you're no longer a prisoner to your pain. Because of him, you're no longer bound to your sin. Because of Jesus, we can actually take these things and lay them down at the foot of the cross. See, God's love has liberated us, you and me. Free to forever walk in the light of his amazing grace.
I pray that God has blessed you in all heavenly places, and that you've seen his blessings, and that you're here today to hear more of it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and we welcome all of you. You are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. Amen. Praise his holy name. I thank you all for being here today, and I pray that God is with you each and every step of the way, that he's blessing you, that he's leading you, and that he's guiding you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Are there any praise reports this morning? Now, what is a praise report? A praise report is something that has happened in your life that you know it couldn't have been no one but God that did it. And you want to praise him. You want to think about him. You know, you want to let everybody else know so we can praise God, so it strengthens our faith. Are there any praise reports this morning? Amen. Can you see the things that are happening right now? Look around you. And I mean, it's going down. There's more things going down than I can count right now. But stay prayed up, because the news, the real news, it's not on the TV or the early morning news or whatever your favorite station is in the morning. The news, the good news, is the word of God. Following the Spirit all the day long. That's the good news. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, they tell you all the little stuff that happened locally, what this person did, what that person did. Basically, it's just negative, because it just brings all the doom and gloom out. Not saying that you don't need to hear it, because it does key you into things that are going on. You know, different types of wrong that be going on. You know, you may get to notice, okay, then I need to look out for myself in this area, or look out for this. Okay, that's good for that. But other than that, the good news is about you and what you're doing and how God is leading you, guiding you through the Holy Spirit, teaching you everyday lessons that we need to learn about this life and being thankful and praising him every step of the way. This is what God desires of his children. You know, when he's blessing us, let's put it like that. And we don't forget to say thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And thank you for Jesus, that he brought our adoption back, that we may be brought back into the kingdom as king and priest. Amen. Now we have a dynamite lesson for you today. As we do each and every Sunday, with study, prayer, meditation, we try to bring, well, we work at it, bringing you a good word. And I pray that it is blessing your lives. Amen. Now, we've been on a series of lessons called Who Told Thee That Thou Was Naked? And it's a good series. It's not about not wearing clothes. It mentioned that in the beginning, but it was because they noticed for the first time that they've been naked all alone, no clothes. Now, what do we do when we notice that? We sew up fig leaves and cover ourselves. Now, today we want to know, what are your fig leaves? What do you cover yourself with? Because some of us have been around and we know to cover ourselves with the word of God. And we know that all the other stuff that we wear are just trinkets and gifts that we give to ourselves. You know, rings and all those things and different clothes and garments that we put on. These are just accessories. But the real you is beneath all of that. It's in the middle of your chest. It's your heart. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this blessed day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, we send the word out today as you have given it to me, to teach, to improve, to help, so that they may seek out Jesus, seek out the Father, seek out the Holy Spirit, and live, Father, and not die. These and other blessings that we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen, amen. Okay, our reference scripture today is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 11. And it reads, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? This statement is not just about their physical nakedness. This statement is also about a deeper spiritual truth, that they had lost their innocence through disobedience. Now, Adam and Eve lived in harmony with God and each other with no guilt, no shame, no fear, just love. They were always naked, but felt no shame because their relationship with God was pure. Now, God asked a profound question, and it's found in verse 13, and God said unto the woman, What is this that thou have done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She had no idea what she had just done. This is important because we need to ask ourselves this all the day long, especially when we get off course, get back on course. Because the Bible says, Who told thee that thou was naked? Now, Genesis 2 and 25, it says, And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So they were naked all along, but once they took of the tree that God told them not to take, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were without that, because in the beginning they only followed what God said and what he asked them to do. Now when Eve, then Adam, in the garden partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the world came blasting in and things changed immediately. The flesh became alive, because before that, they knew nothing about their physical condition. Did not even care. But this one act marked the entry of sin, disobedience, and separation from God in the human life. Now, since that moment in the garden, the world has evolved into a complex mixture of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the lines between the knowledge of good and evil became blurred with the knowledge of the truth, because now your body starts to talk to you. Amen. That's what happened. Your body became alive. It's so easy to cross over from evil back to good, back to evil, because the body does not know the spirit, nor does it know the difference between good and evil. Though the body wants what it wants, when it wants it, it brought in internal confusion, because you have the spirit on one side, you have the flesh on the other side, and in the middle is the soul. So what's happening is the body is trying to convince the soul, the spirit is trying to convince the soul. They're either convincing through the mind, the will, the imagination, your emotions, or your intellect. It's trying to use whichever one of those it can to convince you to do either what's right or the other dictates of the flesh. Now, just like Satan tries to mix the word of God with the ways of the world so that you don't know the difference between the two, he now has a vehicle to use so that he can do that. The body. The body has now joined the conversation. What are you going to do next, believer? This is a profound question. Now, to bring confusion to the believer, that's what it did. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm using King James today. This is what it reads. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But what does that mean? That means that when you follow the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit gives you God's wisdom. When you follow the body just wants what the body wants. And we're going to explain what came in when that door was open, when they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But if you be led by the Spirit, this is what happens. In John 16:13, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall not glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Amen. This is what eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil did to mankind. Okay, I'm finna read what they did. Because when they ate of the tree, then they knew they were naked. That means the flesh became alive, because then they noticed things about the flesh. They noticed that they didn't have clothes on. So if we go to Galatians 5 and 19, this is what it brought in also. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. So it's telling you stuff like this is what happened. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past times, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what God set in order when you eat from the spirit of the tree of life. Now, it's totally different. Now, that's what happens when you walk in the flesh. You see, all these different things happen to you because the flesh does not know God, does not know the spirit, only wants what it wants when it wants it. And it will fight with you until it gets it, or that the spirit convinces the heart, the mind, the will, the imagination, the emotions, the intellect to come with me and follow God. But the spirit of life, these are the things that come from that. Galatians 5 and 22. Now we were at 5. We already been through 13, 14, 15. And now we're in 19. Well, we went through 19, 20, 21. Now we'll go to verse 22. It says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, what could they mean about that? What they're really saying is that when you do these good things, there is no law against it. Loving somebody, having peace and joy in your heart. Long suffering means that you, whatever it is you're trying to get or you're waiting on, you decided to wait on it, even if it takes a little longer than you expected. Long suffering. Faith, meek. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. Temperance, not letting your temper get too hot and let it take over your body and some of these things of the flesh come into play. They that are in Christ have crucified the flesh. See, this is what it's telling you, because that's what became alive when they ate off the tree of knowledge. The flesh became alive. Then there was a big debate whether you follow the spirit or whether you follow the flesh. All right? And so it tells you that Christ, if we're in Christ, we have to crucify the flesh with all the affections and all the lusts that's involved in the flesh trying to take us off and do what it wants to do with our bodies. The Bible tells you our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but the flesh does not know the Holy Spirit. See, when we walk in the Spirit, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And the seed is not only talking about children. What if you've been planning something in a business that you're planning on opening? What if you're planning an idea as a seed? Okay, what if you're planning on reconstructing your home, you know, fixing it up in different places? That's where your seed is right now. And you begin to water it and put money aside and let it grow. And then at the right time, you'll let it manifest. With the soul being in the middle of the spirit and the dictates of the flesh, this is where your choices bring life or death, eternal or quick and dirty. Whichever one. You have to choose the eternal life, or sometimes you do the quick and dirty just so you can get on with your business and move on with your life. So you just do whatever it takes to get past it. That's what we call the quick and dirty. Now, in Hebrews 4 and verse 9 is a tool that God provided for the believer to cover and protect themselves. Now, I'm telling you, it's not easy to do, but it's for the real winners in God or in Christ that will follow these verses. And this is how it reads. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 reads, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Now that scripture, demands an explanation. It's telling you, it says, "For he that entered into his rest." What he's trying to tell you, there is a rest for the people of God. Okay? To where you can rest from making all these decisions that you make every day. Because God is here for you. Jesus is here for you. The Holy Spirit is here for you. Let's read the next scripture. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." Now, what is he talking about? Well, what is labor? Labor is work. Now, this is not easy for the believer. It's not easy for any human, because we've been taught by the world, if you want something done, you got to get up and do it yourself. You can't just sit by and believe somebody else is going to, give it to you, or it's going to fall out of the sky. You know, if you want it done, go get it, go do it and get it done. Amen. Roll up your sleeve. That's what they told us. That was the world's way. But God's way is, he's saying, "For he that entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works." Now, what he's talking about, he's not talking about quitting your job. Don't get it twisted. What he's talking about is that you don't have to figure out what you got to do with this, and what you're going to do this, and how you're going to do this, and how you're going to do that. He's saying, when you enter God's rest, you ask the Holy Spirit what to do in the mighty name of Jesus. And he will answer you. That's the work he's talking about. He says, as God did from his work. He stopped working that way, because if you follow the Spirit, you are led by the Spirit. It says, so we have to labor to enter that rest. It's not easy. Lest we fall after the same example of unbelief. So if we don't follow what God is doing, we sometimes get ourselves into unbelief. We don't believe in God. We don't believe what the word says it will do, that it says it will do for us. So we have to watch it so that we don't get into that point, because then we're left to the world and to the world system and whatever Satan wants to throw at you to keep your confusion going. God is telling you, come on into my rest. Come on in. I got something for you here. Ask me and I will lead you and guide you. I'm the creator of all things, so I know the way. He says, He says, if you follow him, he says, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. That's telling you how far the word go down. Because if he's the creator, he can see beneath your soul, beneath your spirit, or your ideals, or what's in your heart, is what he's talking about. And it says, and of the joints and the marrow, it goes all the way down to the joints in your bones, and the marrow is on the inside of your bone. That brown grainy stuff on the inside of a chicken bone, you ever seen that? That's marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Now, I don't know how many times I've said this, but you can't see what somebody's heart is, or where it is, or what they're really planning for you. But everybody got a plan. Might not be good, but they got one. So what he's telling you is that some of these people out here are great actors and actresses. They should be in the movies, but they're not. They're right here in your mix. So what's happening, he says, only God can see the intents of their heart, because you can't. You have to figure it out. And sometimes when you figure it out, their plan is already in action. They already tripped you up. They already tried to hurt you because they came to find out what you were doing. They were telling somebody that don't like you, or they set their plan into action. They don't like you. They're jealous of you. They have hatred in their heart for you. What we call haterade. That's what they got. But you can get by all this, because God may not tell you they plan, but he'll tell you, what's your next move? What do you need to do next? And you go back to him after you do that and ask him again, what do I do next? He'll tell you through the Holy Spirit. Every day I invite the Holy Spirit of promise into my life, that he may lead me and guide me. This is what else it says. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known, or take the curtain off, in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. When it says naked, in other words, you can't hide. You can't put this big front up, because God can see behind that. Okay, you can't put all this stuff up like you're going to go this way and fake somebody out and go that way. God can see you. You see, this is what you got to understand about the world. Go to John 15 and 18. That's our next scripture. Now, I can't wait long. Time to go. This is what it reads. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. He's talking about Jesus. If you were of the world would love his own. In other words, when you do all the stuff in the world love you. People get out and help you. People do everything they can to help you when you're in the world doing the world stuff. Of course, behind all of it is the spirit of Satan. He's going to get you out there, and you know, on the end, when you can't see it, he's out there sawing the limb off. So somewhere you're going to fall. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you because it hated me, says Jesus. That's what he's saying, because the world hated me. So, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, a lot of us try to fit in. And we can't really fit in, because don't nobody around you really like you. Or you don't understand. You do everything you can, you know, to fit in. And somehow you don't feel like you're a part of it. Even after you've done this and done that, to show your faithfulness, your loyalty, and you still feel out of place, then guess what? You're a child of the Most High God. Don't you understand that? You can't fit with everything and everybody. Some people are going to be uncomfortable around you because they know you're not supposed to be there. And sometimes, in some places, they even tell you, why are you here? You know you're not supposed to be here. They can see it. They know you're not supposed to be there. And they giving you God's word. It could be the worst person that you've ever seen do all kind of stuff. And he come and ask you, why are you here? What you doing? You know you don't belong here. And he telling you something. He giving you God's wisdom. And God can use anyone. When we talk about Balaam and Balak, the donkey, he used the donkey talked. So I'm telling you, God can use anybody to give you the word, to bring you back on course. But you got to realize, you're not mediocre. You're not the type of person can fit everywhere, because God's purpose, his seed is planted in you. And let me tell you how you know a seed is planted inside of you. You see, sometimes you do things and you know you did something wrong. Nobody got to tell you, but you know it. Because you know what your folks taught you. You know what has been implanted inside of you. And this ain't the way. My parents didn't raise me up like this. You got God's seed in you. And what's happening is that it's manifesting in your life. Because you can't be like everybody. You can't do the things everybody does. You can't be mediocre. You just can't sit around and do nothing like everybody that's over there at that house doing nothing. You know your life was put purpose in the midst of you. You know your family have worked all of their lives. Your parents, you've seen them. You've seen your cousins and uncles and aunts go out there and get it. So that's a seed planted in you. You've seen them go to church on Sunday, read the Bible, pray. Okay, get into some trouble and start calling on the name of the Lord. Those are seeds coming out, growing up, manifesting. That's what they are. And you got to know that's not you. Ephesians 1 and 3. That's where we're going next. Come on, Bible scholars. Let's go. Beloved of God. This is how it reads. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's who died for us in Christ. Why? Because when Christ died for us, we are saved through him. He gave his life so that we may come back and live in the garden again. That's what resting in his peace is about. Just like God told Adam and Eve what to do in the kingdom, in heaven, in Eden. He's inviting you back through Christ, back to Eden. That's why he's saying, just like he directed Adam, I want you to name every plant, every animal, everything. And Adam did it. He followed what God set out for him to do. Well, through the Holy Spirit, God have set this before you. Blessings and cursings, life and death. So he's telling you, I've got it all planned for you. But follow me. The Holy Spirit will give you all things that you may walk in truth, in righteousness, in heavenly places. Verse 4 says, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. You get it? That's not the flesh talking. That's God talking. That's the spirit of the tree of life in love. Verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, let me break you some bread on that. This is not something we achieve on our own. God looked upon us with love and made a decision to welcome us into his family through Jesus. So when you pray, God is not seeing you. He's seeing Jesus coming to him. He's seeing his spirit coming before him. Because if he saw us in our form, in all the stuff that we do, all the betrayal we'd have, Sometimes we betray the kingdom. Sometimes we betray our own self. We betray our neighbors. We betray the dog. Okay? We betray our bodies by putting all kind of junk in it. But when we go to him in the name of Jesus, he sees Christ. So that's why he's blessed you in heavenly places by Christ Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is not something we achieve on our own. Amen. I said that a minute ago. That he welcomed us into his family through Jesus. But this statement at its core highlights God's sovereignty and God's grace and his love for all mankind. This is my message for today. And I hope you heard the message truly in its form.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time, for this moment, Lord. This is a holy moment in the spirit. And we thank you that you've made a way that we may rest in your peace today, Lord. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Obey it and follow it. And that you'll lead us down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Lord, if we just follow you, you'll walk us around all the booby traps and everything that has been set in place for us to fall and get hurt, and let you move us around these things. And Father, if there is something that we're going through, this is something that we need to learn. There's a lesson there for us, and I pray that we learn it and not grumble, not get mad at God, not walk away from God, not betray him, but stay focused and stay with him. No matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at in this life, that we continue to glorify your name and praise you in whatever situation we're in. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise our holy name, Lord, for thy name is great. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. This is my message today, and I pray that you were blessed by it, that you learned from it, and that God showed himself to you, because only you know your real life, what you're going through, where you need God, what you need to give up and submit to God. Because most people don't submit, like when you take wrestling. They don't submit till they get down and somebody, you know, tie them into a knot. Then they tap out. Don't let it be that for you. Just submit to God. Thank him for all he's doing. Amen. I want you all to have a great day. Have a great week. And bless the kingdom. For those that continue to give, I want to thank you. And I'm praying for you that God will turn it around and give you a 100-fold return. For those that have not, the door is open. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shaken together, and running over. And this ministry needs it, because we have expenses just like you have, and we're here for you, and we know that you're supposed to be here for us in return. Thank you. Have a great week. We'll see you at Bible study. Amen. Amen.